Good afternoon, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, I do want to inform all participants that your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's call. Today's call is also being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Alex Demus. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Welcome. This is Alex Demus with the U.S. Geological Survey. Thank you all for joining. Today we will have three speakers: Wes Thielen, seismologist with the USGS; Jessica Farrakhan with Hawaii Volcanoes National Park; and Ian Morrison, meteorologist with the National Weather Service. Each speaker will give an update. After all of the updates, we will have a brief question and answer session. Our first speaker is Wes Thielen. That's W-E-S-T-H-E-L-E-N, seismologist with the USGS. Wes?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending. Eruptive activity continues at two places on Kilauea Volcano. In the lower east rift zone, Fissure 8 continues to be the dominant source of lava effusion and continues to feed flows east into the ocean. A new lava channel spread around the south side of Kapoho Cone and rejoined the Fissure 8 flow as it fed into the ocean. The subdivisions of Vacation Land and Kapoho Beach lots have been almost entirely inundated with lava. In addition, Kapoho Bay has been almost entirely filled. Lobes of lava that broke out of the main channel to the north, most notably near the center pit, appear to be stagnant at this time. Over the past 24 hours, the vigor of Fissure 8 has diminished somewhat, but Fissure 9 and 10, slightly uprift, are quite hot and have gas emitting from them. In the summit of Kilauea, several hours of strong earthquake activity preceded a minor explosion at 4:32 a.m. local time. The explosion produced an ash cloud to 5,000 feet. Earthquake activity diminished significantly after the explosion, which is consistent with the pattern we have seen over the course of the last couple of weeks. Deflation in the summit continues, and thus if the current pattern holds, we should expect increased earthquake activity to lead to another explosion in the next 24 to 48 hours. Populations in the immediate vicinity of the summit of Kilauea should expect to feel many of these earthquakes.
Thanks, Wes. Our next speaker will be Jessica Farrakhan with the National Park Service. Her name is Jessica Farrakhan, F-E-R-R-A-C-A-N-E. Jessica?
Good morning. My update is very brief today. Day 26 of the park closure. Hopefully everybody who wanted to get the news release yesterday got it. Please let me know if you did not. We had no reported damage yet from this morning's magnitude 5.5 earthquake that struck at 4:32 a.m., but park staff were still out assessing any possible damage. As you probably know, the park is very, very large, and so it does take time to conduct assessments. We did get one question. I thought maybe if this one person had this question, it might be on the minds of other reporters, and that was if Crater Rim Drive was passable. Should Chain of Craters Road become an evacuation route and we evacuate people from the Kalapana area through the park? Chain of Craters Road does connect with Crater Rim Drive. Yesterday's news release included a link to some photos that showed damage to Crater Rim Drive, but that is not part of this route. In fact, the part that was the damage where that occurred is not currently used by the public, although HVO staff and park staff use that as an administrative road to access closer to the summit. And that's really all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Jessica. Ian? Ian Morrison with is meteorologist with the National Weather Service, and his name is spelled I-A-N-M-O-R-R-I-S-O-N. Ian?
All right, good morning, everyone. We have continuing trade winds over the area, which meaning from the east to northeast direction, anywhere from about 10 to 20 miles an hour. And with the trade winds blowing around the Big Island, that brings any volcanic emissions down to the southwest and then also around to the leeward side and gets blown back in onshore. So over Kona, we have a lot of haze, volcanic haze over there, so poor visibilities. Otherwise, this pattern is expected to continue. Rainfall, we have scattered numerous showers overnight and more variable showers with light to scatter during the day. So that pattern is expected to continue as well. And for the foreseeable future, at least through this week, it looks like trade winds will continue. That's what I got.
Thanks, Ian. We will now take questions. Reporters, please state your name and affiliation. And we ask that you only ask one question at a time to allow everyone to get at least one question in. We will circle back for follow-up questions. Thank you. Sue, can you please open the line to Q&A?
Yes, thank you. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please ensure your phone is unmuted, and please press star followed by one. You will be prompted to record your name. Please state your name and affiliation so I may introduce you to ask your question. Again, that is star followed by one. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question comes from Caleb Jones with the Associated Press. You may go ahead with your question.
Thank you. So with the most current flows entering the ocean, this is probably more lava that's hit the sea in quite some time. I know that there was an entry in 2016 that created some new land, and then afterwards there was a collapse of the delta that formed there. Can you talk a little bit about the amount of land that's being formed from the new ocean entries and whether or not you have concerns about those deltas collapsing into the ocean and whether or not there could be a tsunami threat from those with the increased earthquake activity?
Yeah, this is Wes Thielen from the United States Geologic Survey. I don't have a current number for exactly how much new material has entered into the ocean. I can tell you that Kapoho Bay is mostly filled with lava now. Kapoho Bay, though, is fairly shallow, and so until it reaches further out where water is deeper, it's most likely that that there would not be any delta collapses. But this is certainly something that's on our mind. There was an ocean entry that came out of this current eruption to the south, and did not have any significant bench collapses associated with it. So it's something that we're assessing as things play out. We don't expect that any bench collapse is going to happen. Any bench collapse that would happen would have enough volume to generate a significant tsunami. It certainly wasn't the case when bench collapses were happening from the Pu'uo'o eruption, and we haven't really even begun to approach the levels of delta building that we approached in the Pu'uo'o eruption. So until we get a little bit larger or to a little bit deeper water, I don't think that it's a big hazard right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Dan Simon with CNN. You may go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. With Kapoho and vacation land inundated with lava, I'm wondering if you can give us a sense as to how many homes have been destroyed in those areas, and also if you have a sense as to how many people still may be stranded in the community. Thank you.
Hi, Dan. This is Alex Davis with USGS. Those questions are actually better directed towards civil defense. They're the ones who are tracking that information. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Michael Brestovansky with Hawaii Tribune Herald. You may go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Wes mentioned that the fissure 8 seems to be slowing somewhat. I was hoping he might be able to clarify what he meant by that.
Yeah, again, this is Wes Thielen from the United States Geological Survey. You know, basically one of the main ways that we can measure the vigor of a fissure is the height of its lava fountain. It's probably not the best way to do it, but in this case it offers sort of a first order way of figuring out whether or not there's more or less material coming out. And at least in this case, the Fisher 8 lava fountain has been around, you know, up to about 150 feet, which seems fairly significant. But our geologists are pretty consistently coming back and saying that the vigor of Fisher 8 is less, so that the heights of the fountains are lower than what they've been seeing in the past few days. And there's been some reports that the flow levees, those are the parts of the lava channel on the edges that are cooled, are actually starting to collapse a little bit, which happens when the flow channel itself has a little bit lower volume. So when it has a little lower volume, that means that the lava is not holding up the walls as well, and you start seeing those levees sort of collapse into the middle of the lava channel. So there's a couple different observations there that suggest that Fisher 8 is, at least at this point, a little less vigorous than it was just 24 hours ago.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, there are no further questions. As a reminder, please press star followed by 1 if you would like to ask a question. One moment, please. We do have a follow-up from Michael Brustovansky with Hawaii Tribune Herald. You may go ahead.
Thanks. Just follow up that. You mentioned the levee walls maybe starting to collapse. Is that does that raise the risk of the flow branching out into new directions as it breaks out of the channel?
Hard to say, because it depends on where the levees break and over what scale they break in. So right now we haven't necessarily seen any large, we haven't seen lava breaking out significantly from a lot of different areas since the relative waning in activity of Fisher 8. So at this point it doesn't seem like it seems that the lava is mostly staying, especially high up, as it's close to Fisher 8, is staying within the channel and not really breaking out as a result of levees collapsing.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, there are no further questions. Again, please press star followed by 1 if you would like to ask a question. One moment, please. There are no further questions at this time.
Hi, Sue. This is Alex Stamets with USGS. I think we'll go ahead and cut it off there then. If any reporters on this line have follow-ups I think of later, please reach out to volcanomedia@usgs.gov. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. All participants may disconnect.